Heavenly Father, we have come to you this morning to receive peace. We have come to you this morning to receive succor. We have come to you this morning to receive grace. We have come to you this morning to receive encouragement. We have come to you this morning to receive lifting. We have come to this morning that might touch the hem of your garment. Oh Lord, our God, may the wordings and the lyrics of this choir ministration be appropriated in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we go into your word, may you come to us in a pathway. Blessed be your name forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want to see all to sit and put hands together for the Lord. I don't have too much time this morning. I might be galloping. But I want us to appreciate God for choir this morning that God has yet to minister to us powerfully. Today, I'm going to be talking about what I call the time of restoration. The time of restoration. At the beginning of this month, and as I was seeking the face of the Lord, praying and meditating, the Lord told me that this month we should devote to prayers of restoration. And what do we mean by restoration? When something is taken away, when something is lost, when something is denied, you talk about restoration. And today I'm going to take, because of my time, I won't take two more preambles. Ruth chapter 4. I want us to look at the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 to 15a. The book of Ruth, chapter 4. I want us to read from verse 13 to 15. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. When he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Verse 15. And it shall be unto thee a restorer of your life, and a nourisher of your old age. In this passage, we see conspicuously mention Naomi and Ruth. If you look at the story of these two women, they were women that were battered. Remember, Naomi left the land in search of a better life. She went to the land of Moab with a great expectation. The moment she stepped into the land, she was expecting increase. But what happened at the end of the day? Number one, she lost. The dream that she had was shattered. She lost her husband. Number two, she lost her children. So she became a widow, and she became childless with no hope of conceiving again. So she became worse than she thought. And at that time, she was in a terrible state. So by the time Ruth followed her to the land of Israel, she also was suffering from double jeopardy. Number one, she was suffering from the loss of identity. At that point in time, she had no people again. Remember, she told Ruth, your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. She suffered a loss of identity. She was also a widow. And because she has suffered the loss of identity, at that point in time, culturally, the hope of even having any child was gone. These people lost almost everything. They were similarly in an irredeemable situation. And you know one thing? God did not come to them in a vision. God did not send a word of prophecy unto them. God did not give them a revelation. God did not send a man of God to them. But God was working silently for their restoration. God was working silently to restore and even give better things than what the enemy has taken away. I don't know what kind of loss you have suffered this year. Is it the shattered dream? Is it the battered hope? Is it the expectation that is gone? I don't know, as you step into this year, that you had a high hope and you think that you are even worse off than you started the year. And God has not come to you with a word. God has not sent a prophet unto you. God has not given you a dream. God has not given you a revelation. I want to assure you this morning, the Lord is saying we are entering into a time of restoration. And God is silently working on your behalf. There was no revelation, but suddenly, if you look at that verse 13, suddenly, Boaz took Ruth to his wife. And before you knew it, the man, woman that was a widow had husband again. The one that was childless had a child again. And not just ordinary child, the Lord gave this woman who suffered a loss of identity, God that gave her, wrote her name in the book that's indelible. The Lord gave her a memorial. The Lord gave her a legacy. The Lord gave her an immortal legacy that can never be erased. She could have had so many children. Nothing would have been heard about her. But look at the way the Lord now restored. The enemy took away, the Lord restored. And by that, they are now named with the Lord Jesus Christ. A Moabitish woman now came into the generation, to the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me tell you this morning, God is still in the business of restoration. No matter how what you are feeling, a feeling of loss, a feeling of inadequacy, a feeling of being left behind, a feeling of dashed hopes, a feeling of a battered life, a feeling of an answered prayer, a feeling of a neglected person by God. God is silently working on your behalf because God is still in the business of restoration. And quickly, because of my time, when God restores, restoration, the first thing he brings peace. He brings relief. He brings succor. That's why the Bible says in the book of Psalm 23, verse 23, he said, he leaded me beside still water. He restored my soul. Leading beside this water, he's not talking of troubled water now. Water that is calm. You know, when some people, even great literary experts, when want to write, they want to look for inspiration, they want to go and stand beside where there is stillness. So the psalmist said, he leaded me beside still waters and restore my soul. Meaning God is going to calm the storm. God is going to be with peace. And then there will be restoration of everything that you thought that has gone. He leads me beside still water. This month, as we go into it, one thing I want to give you to key into is to pray for restoration. restoration in various dimensions. So apart from the Lord bringing relief, bringing succor by restoration, when God restores, he supplies answer to personal questions. So many questions might be agitating our minds. There are so many whys that are yearning and begging for answer. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? And you, there's no clue. So many questions, but you are clueless as to how to answer it. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, we are not going to read because of our time. If you read from verse 3 to 5, the Lord took him to the valley of dry bones, and everything around him was lifeless, hopeless, despondency. And God asked him, can this bone live again? What a question. And Ezekiel could not answer. He said, God is the only one that understands. You are the only one. There are so many questions in our lives. I don't know this morning. There are some questions in your heart, in your mind, begging for answer. You search, you've asked, you've prayed, you've cried, but you do not have a clue. You are just wondering. You are just in bewilderment as to what is happening. But you see, by the time the Lord spoke, he restored life. He restored hope. He restored every kind of dream that anybody could have thought of. The Lord is going to breathe upon your life this month. He will restore hope where hope is dashed. He will repackage you where your life is battered. He will redirect you where your leg is shaking. He will strengthen you where your faith is waning. God is still in the business of restoration. I wish we had more time to go into that this morning, but like I said, because of my time, I have to be galloping. I want to say something. When God restores, it changes your story. It turns your glaring failure to celebrated success. You look into your life this day, you see so many failures. So many areas you think you have failed. So many areas you have not lived up to expectation. So many areas you have not measured up. And what you see is that maybe there is disgrace, there is shame. Just like Naomi. Naomi went back, she went to the land of Moab with great expectation. She came back with shame. You look around you, there's some area that is shame. You have lost your confidence. You have lost your sense of self-worth. You are thinking so many things that should be done are not yet done. My dear brother, this is a time of restoration. I say the second half of this year is a time of restoration. And I would get, that's why my time, I will tell the story of a man who was a failure. A man who was lightly esteemed. A man who was relegated to a background that people are giving up on him. People thought nothing good could come out of his life again. Turn with me to the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 15. Verse 37 to 39. We are going to read those three verses. Acts of Apostles, chapter 15, verse 37 to 39. Remember, I am talking about the time of restoration. I said Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles, chapter 15. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. In other words, John Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the next verse. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and said to Cyprus, the next verse, with the last verse, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now what do you find here? John Mark, he followed Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. But at a point in time, he decided to go back, to abandon them. And from that point in time, Paul gave up on him. As respectable as Paul was, as anointed as Paul was, Paul thought nothing could come out of his life again. And so when they were to go on the second missionary journey, Barnabas, probably because of the family, the blood affinity, because according to the account of the Bible, Barnabas, John Mark was a nephew of Barnabas. He was actually the daughter, the son of his sister. If you look at Colossians chapter 4 verse 10, it is stated there. So maybe probably because of family affinity, and probably because Barnabas was a man who also believed we should encourage people. Say, I'm going to go with John Mark. But Paul said, no, we cannot go. This guy is a failure. It's useless. It's good for nothing. He has nothing to contribute. Forget about him. He's hopeless. And so Paul, because of that, parted ways with Barnabas, who was one of his mentors. So because of Joma, he became the one that brought the cantankerous altercation. And you can imagine what the church of God would think about such a man, that look at this young man who has created problem between our leaders. But the Lord restored that man. That was the story. His story did not end there. If you now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11 quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11. Let us read what became when God restored John Mark. What became of his life? Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for it's profitable to me for the ministry. Bring Mark. He said, take Mark and bring him. Because what? It's profitable to me and also for the ministry. If you go to 1 Peter 5:13, because of my time, go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Look at another testimony of John Mark. At the end of the day, the church that's at Babylon, elected together with you, salute you, and so doth Marcus, my son. This is John Mark. So what am I saying? The guy that was useless, the guy that was rejected, the guy that was seen as good for nothing, when the Lord restored him, Paul, the leading charismatic apostle, said that who rejected him, said he is now profitable. Not only for me, but also for the ministry. And Peter, the head of the apostle, said that he is my son. He owned him. My dear brother, my dear sister, I don't know whether people are looking down on you because of what you are going through, or you are even giving up yourself. God is going to restore you, and your story is going to change. I said your story goes to change. Even if the first half of the year has not been profitable, you have come to the second half where the Lord is going to make all your way to be profitable. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know that we are in the time of restoration. And so it does not matter what you have, the loss you have suffered, the ground that you have not covered. But I want you to know that God, this time, is ready to to do the work of restoration in your life. And there's anybody who has gone away. So many people, they have wandered away in the course of this pandemic. Some people have done so many terrible and unimaginable things in the course of this pandemic. But I'm calling on you this morning. I am telling you this morning to come back to God and let Him restore you and change your story. Let Him strengthen you. If you look at the book of Psalms 37 verse 24 quickly, for so those who are being in this category, I want us to read this verse. Psalm 37 verse 24, it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. If there's anybody who is falling out of the way this morning, or who has fallen out of the way, is there anybody who has missed it one way or the other? Is there anybody because of the pressure or the leisure? Because there are two things. This pandemic brings pressure for some people. It also brought some leisure for some people because they are jobless, they are idle, and they have time for nonsense. They have time for rubbish. So maybe it is pressure that have made you to fall, or it is leisure. But it is time for restoration. Because the Bible says, even if you fall, you will not be utterly cast down, because God will uphold you with your hand. The Lord is stretching forth his hand this morning to uphold you. For those who are weak, the Lord is stretching forth his hand right hand to strengthen you. For those who are lost ground, the Lord is stretching forth his right hand to restore you. For those who are lost hope, the Lord is stretching forth his right hand to redeem your hope. For those who are lost space, those who are lost ground, those who are lost time, the Lord is stretching forth his right hand to redeem your time. And finally, as we pray, I want to read Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 17, and then we are going to pray. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 17 quickly, and then we are going to pray. And it says, and there is hope in your hand, saith the Lord. I said Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 17. He says, and there is hope in your hand, saith the Lord. The present might not be showing so much promise. There might not be so much hope beaming in the sky. The star may not be shining in the cloudy sky. But that is not the end. You may not be finding things easy now. That is not the end. You may be finding things rough and tough. That is not the end. You might be in a stage of contention, agitation. That is not the end. This morning, the promise of God is that there's hope in your hand. Look for that hope. Wait for that hope. Reach out to that hope. The Bible say, don't say you are not going to end up badly. You are not going to end up miserably. You are not going to end up in shame. There is hope in your hand. When the enemy is telling you are bad, you are terrible, this is what's happening, tell the devil, say, God said, there is hope in my hand. I will not end up badly. If the enemy said, look, this year is gone, your dreams are shattered, your hopes are dashed, your aspirations are not achieved, tell the devil, the Lord said, there is hope in my hand. Whenever you say, look at what you are battling with, you are going from one problem to the other, from one issue to the other, you are restless, there's no peace, you are always fighting, you are always struggling, tell the devil, the Lord say, there is hope in my hand. This is just the first, a temporary phase. I am going to a phase of peace. The Lord will lead me besides sea water, and you go to restore my soul. Can you stand on your feet this morning? Stand on your feet this morning. I begin to thank God that God, I cry for restoration of hope. Say, your mighty hand of God will restore you. The mighty hand of God, every gain you have lost, every promise that cannot be fulfilled, every shame that's upon your life, God is going to change your story. He changed it for Naomi. He changed it for Ruth. He changed it for John Mark. He's still in that business. Begin to speak unto God. Call upon God this morning. Ask for the glory of the latter house. Ask that in any area that your life needs a touch, ask for the touch of God to be restoration. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God and tell it and declare to the devil, my hand shall be better than my beginning. My hand shall be better than now. I am walking into the glorious tomorrow. I am approaching my glorious future. I will handle gloriously. I will not end in shame. I will not end miserably. The Lord is going to strengthen me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless your name this morning. We appreciate you because you said it's a time of restoration. Lord, I pray for those who have lost ground this year. Father, redeem their time in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those whose hope has been dashed this year. I ask, oh Lord God, you breathe your breath of life into their life and rekindle your hope in their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those who are falling, those who are weary. I pray that you raise them up and strengthen them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray, oh Lord God, for those who are unhappy, who are sad. I pray this morning that you store your joy into their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those who are always fighting one battle or the other, one kind of struggle or the other. My Lord and my God, today, I pray that by you remove stress from their life and you restore your grace and your peace into their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those who are finding things rough and tough, those who are battling with tough times. Lord, today, I pray that peace in their life be still and every storm be calm in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those who are waiting and longing on you and they are yet to be satisfied. I pray that today, Lord God, that restore the fulfillment of your promise into their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those who are sick, Lord, I pray this morning, restore health unto them in the mighty name of Jesus. Some are emotionally sick this morning. Father, restore emotional health unto their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Some are psychologically sick this morning. Father, oh Lord God, heal their psychology in the mighty name of Jesus. Some are financially sick this morning because they are in need. Lord, make provision for their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord.